Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics.
Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Carl Carlson.
And this is Fred Schreckenberg. Hey, Carl.
Hey, Fred.
Good talking to you. We were chatting about weather and probability, but I don't think that's a reliability topic, although a meteorologist in the group may disagree.
It actually, it won't be our topic today, but at some point I'd love to chat about how you characterize probability to people who don't necessarily understand probability. Just, and that's what weather's all about. They keep trying to describe it, but save that for another day. I would love to continue the thread that we started a little while back that sort of got energized from your teaching at University of Maryland, where you had students that were so interested in the softer skills.
Yep.
That just opened my eyes that you don't learn the softer skills in school.
Not directly, not very often. I know there's some professors will have people do presentations and they get partially graded on their presentation skills and more on their content or project or whatever they did.
Yeah.
But that's more the norm of overall soft skills that I've ever seen.
Right, right. And so, I was fortunate and I didn't even, it just sort of became part of the job is when I was at General Motors, they had a day class on running meetings, a day class on giving presentations, a day class on active listening, all the different things. And so we kind of rotated through those. And I didn't realize until I finished at GM and went off on my own that not every company does that.
And you noticed that.
So you're kind of left on your own. And that's the value, I think, of the podcasting is that we can talk about some of the experiences that we've had on these different skills, and such as the softer skills. And I thought an interesting one that is in everybody's job at some point or another, I mean, almost every day, is the subject of meetings.
Yeah, and sometimes too many.
Think about how you run good meetings, or even how you be a good participant.
Well, I find that there's a broad range of what we mean by meetings. There's, you know, the all hands on deck once a quarter with the vice president that tells us about how wonderful the business is doing or upcoming challenges or this, that, or the other. And it's very informative one way. And then there's, oh, we got 5 minutes for questions. Okay, that's enough. We're out of here. And we call that a meeting. It's really just a broadcast. Yeah. And then there's others where it's your local team and you got 3-4 people in Nomad. My favorite meeting by far was I was in a group and there were 7 of us that each supported a different product line in the division that I was working in and different parts of the products and so on. So, but we all did the same thing. We all did the same thing, but we did it with different groups. And some were very high volume, some were low volume, some were cutting edge technology, some were follow on technology and so on. But we got together every Friday and the rule, we had 2 rules for the meeting. No managers, no agenda. And this is contrary to everything else we're going to talk about, but it was the very best meeting and most productive meeting I've ever been a participant in. It was, what are the common things that we're facing and what can we do about it? And so we ended up coalescing on and agreeing on various things that became design standards across our division. And it was just because we each of us individually had the authority to say, this is what we do in this circumstance. And when we collectively did it, then it became the rules across the organization. So you could, one person swapping in or out, or a new person showed up, well, here's the rules. Here's how we do stuff. And it extended from all kinds of stuff, but it was a half hour, 45 minute meeting. We got together. What do we want to talk about today? Put it on the board. We walked through it, came up with action items and went off and did it. And our boss was like, what are you guys doing on Friday morning? And we told him, we're gossiping about management and eating donuts. Go away. So it was totally undercover. It was so much fun. And we got all kinds of cool stuff done that actually made a real difference in the division. Yet it was anytime a manager was in the meeting in that organization, it was worthless in my opinion.
But, yeah, I agree.
I hope my old boss is talking, listening.
I'm laughing because I completely concur. When I teach FME, for example, or reliability tools, I'm always careful when I see a manager up and participant. I say, look, I'm happy to have you there, but you're not there as a manager. You're there as a student. And even when we're doing FMEAs, conducting with an FMEA team and manager shows up, I say, we're bringing you in based on your subject matter expertise, not your manager hat. And because I can't tell you how many students, when the manager's in the room, ask them a question, they look to the manager before they answer.
Yep.
They're just looking for the body language in the cue, like a little head nod or whatever.
I was in an assessment recently and doing interviews, and the director wanted to be in all these interviews. And I said, only if you're a fly on the wall, literally, no react. And she was very expressive, just her body language and facial expressions. And then, you know, after lunch, I said, no, this isn't working. You need to leave.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So now let's, in the topic of meetings, we're going to have managers. So all these comments were made. I was making those in terms of a teaching environment or a engineering team or that type of thing. Now, when you actually have a meeting, maybe we do this in two parts. One is if you're the leader, and two is you're a participant.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a leader, now you're going to have an agenda. And so that, to me, is part of the agreement but keep the agenda simple and make sure it's agreed upon, that you've had input. In other words, you're not being a dictator, that the agenda makes sense and it's simple.
I'd start even before the agenda. I think it's part of making the agenda is you got to ask the question, do I need to gather people in a room or online to do this? Would an email or voicemail suffice? I've been in way too many staff meetings where the boss comes in and goes, here's the information from senior management. And for half an hour, blah, 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 blah. And like, you could have emailed this to us. And he's reading an email, you know, basically does. I'm like, why didn't you just forward that to us? Well, I said, is there any discussion needed on this? Is there any action that we need to take on this that we need to agree on? No, it's just for your information. And why are you wasting eight people's half an hour of time when it would have taken us 5 minutes to read this ourselves? And so I think the agenda part is the first criteria for the difference, in my opinion, between a bad meeting and a good meeting is, do you really need a meeting?
Oh, that's a good entrance point. So let's state that, I mean, I completely agree. There needs to be a reason for the meeting. We don't have a template of meetings if it doesn't need to be there, or just form a meeting where people don't participate.
Oh, the worst is the meeting to determine if you need a meeting. Oh my God, I've been in those too.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. So there needs to be a reason for the meeting, and it needs to be a good one. This comes down to the question you always ask, which is the right question. Why?
Yeah. What's the value? Why are we doing this?
Mm-hmm. So let's say we have a good reason for a meeting. Then I think you need a purpose. Like, you have a good reason. So the purpose is the reason. What is the why? Once you've established, you've gone through the gate, we're going to need a meeting. Now let's agree on the purpose of the meeting, even before you do the agenda. What's the, why are we here? What do we need to
accomplish? The outcomes is the way I would phrase it. Mm-hmm. And I've been in some meetings where our boss would say, all right, we need to prioritize, you know, and he'd send us the information prior. So here's the information that our, you know, budget's changed, or this has changed, or that has changed. We need to get together and figure out what our response is, how we're going to deal with this. And we get together Friday. So we had a purpose, and the outcome is, what are we going to do? What are we going to decide on? And at the end of the meeting would end, when we had a decision and said, all right, Bill, you go do this, Sarah, you go do that. I'm going to go do this, and we're done. And it, as opposed to the bad meeting that it's scheduled for an hour, independent of how much content you actually need to talk about, it will take an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we have 5 minutes left. What else do we want to talk about?
Right.
Instead of end of meeting. This comes down to respect. Also, I mean, I've been to so many bad meetings, where they, like you said, they're just filling time.
Yeah, this could quickly turn into a rant about bad meetings. But
yeah,
I think that's
didn't want to do that. But that's we have to at least pay attention to what are the big hitters as to things you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. And one of them is hold a meeting and just fill up the space and the time, and let the subject wander. So that I think this comes down to respect for people's time, which is respect for people.
Yeah.
And I don't want to waste people's time. And so therefore the meeting should accomplish its objective and then finish. And now we're not wasting people's time. The other way you can waste people's time is inviting a large group to a meeting when you need a small group.
Yeah. And if it's, a product launch or a big announcement or the quarterly catch up from senior management, yeah, you could record a message, you could put it out, but it's a little bit, we're all in this together. It's a different purpose. I think in the engineering ranks and first level, second level managers, it goes back to what's the purpose of the meeting. And oftentimes it's coordination or alignment or prioritization or brainstorming, or it even can be, I'm thinking of product development staffs where we get together Jill just found out this circuit board isn't going to work with this configuration. We need 2 more square inches. And where are we going to get that? All right. Mechanical, so on and so on. What are our options? All right. Let's sort it out. Bang, bang, bang. Here's options. Let's explore these three. Come back when we have more information. 15-minute meeting. We're done.
Exactly.
But if it's just information, you really got to ask that question. Why are we doing this? But if it's to gather information and compare and contrast and debate, prioritize, think through options, stuff like that, where you need the brain power and the interaction, then that's a good purpose for a meeting. If Friday at 4 o'clock staff meeting is just always 4 o'clock staff meeting, especially on a Friday afternoon, that was one of the worst bosses.
Really?
If it was something you looked forward to, that we were going to get stuff done, you would learn something, you would interact with stuff, you contribute to each other's work, you would ask, it's like a mini design review. I had a staff meeting, it was like that. It was great because you got up to speed what other people were working on that would probably apply to where I'm at, and we got to help each other, and it was such a safe environment. You could walk in and with your boss there and say, I'm struggling with this part of this aspect of it. I got this issue, and there's this conundrum. Any ideas on how to solve that? And that was a central part of that meeting, is you went there to get help. Whereas if you're afraid to bring any of that up, then, why would you go?
So let me put you on the spot here a minute, just for fun. You're running a meeting, Fred, mm-hmm. and you have some objective. You've already decided the meeting is needed. You're basically going to something about a widget that has to be determined, whether you go and you want input from different people. So let's say you have a good purpose, a need for the meeting, and you've invited who you think needs to be there.
Yep.
And the meeting is underway, and two of the people are off in the corner having a side conversation and working on their texting. What would you do?
Fortunately, most of the meetings I ran, the one I was thinking of, it was before texting was a thing. and I've run into meetings since then that people have done that. And it says, well, if you're not going to engage, this meeting will take a lot longer and it's wasting all of our time. And if I ran into a circumstance where it was more early cell phones and text messages, the little pager thing on people's deals. And I said, is anybody here on short call alert to service the factory line? Because that was the team I was in. And no, all right, turn your pagers off. I don't care if you get a call from your wife. Yeah, it's like, and I've heard you do it in FMEA meetings, right? Laptops closed, turn off your phones, you know, unless you have your wife's about to go into labor, turn it off. And I justified it a couple of times. And if I'd see something like that, I'd say, hey, look, this only works if we have your attention and your brain power and contribution. Otherwise, this meeting's, we reschedule it when you can participate.
Very good. Good response, friend. You're actually describing what I would call meeting norms, agreed upon behavior, which in theory could be reviewed at some point with people. Okay, here's the meeting norms.
Yeah.
No texting, no da-da, you know, and be involved. And part of it involves good facilitation skills or good team leader skills, which is you want to involve everybody. You want they're there for a reason. And so you want them to be part of the meeting and so they can contribute. Sometimes I would ask people if I see them working on something else, I'd ask their opinion. Direct the questions straight to them.
And they go, what? Well, if you were paying attention.
And then they'll close their laptop or their phone.
Yeah.
But that's the real world. And so what have we got so far? We've got, you brought up, and I agree, do you need a meeting or not? That's the first gate. And then if you do, make sure you have a good defined, agreed upon purpose, agenda, what you're going to cover. But as you point out, you want to know where the outcome is. In other words, you don't want just a meeting to talk. You want to get to some point. And so maybe that should be clear as to what the deliverable of the meeting is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want to have maybe some norms. They don't have to be a long 2-page list, but things like show up on time, you know, that kind of thing, which I can't go through a discussion with meetings without bringing up the pet peeve of people showing up late.
Oh, you've heard the story of mine. I'm in an impossible situation. The safety officer for the factory was the juniorest engineer. So I was the juniorest engineer.
Huh.
And so the general manager and his staff at that point had to meet for a safety meeting once a month, and the safety officer facilitated it. So I, you know, here's the updates on this, and here's an inspection coming, and this, that, and everything. And this one guy was perpetually late. And then wanted, not only late, but he'd be 15 minutes late and wanted to recap everything he missed. And apparently it was his behavior all the time. And the rest of the staff didn't like it either. And so I knew that he liked Snickers bars. It was well known in the group. So I bought a bunch of full-size Snickers bars and I gave one to everybody that showed up on time. And they all knew it. They all knew exactly what I was doing. And he sat down and he looked around and everybody let their Snickers bar sit out right in front of him. And I says, well, do I get a Snickers bar? No, you were late. He was never late again.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, the part of the discussion here is if you're leading the meeting, start the meeting on time.
Yeah.
I despise it when people go, let's wait till others arrive.
Yeah, let's wait 2 minutes. We got five.
Yeah, we got 5 minutes. Let's just wait until other people arrive. Everybody's going to be late at that point because nobody wants to sit around waiting.
Well, and then they're going to open their phone and go do something else, and then they'll be engaged elsewhere. It's like, well, if you're not respecting my time, I'm leaving. You know, it's kind of, I'm on the participant end of this thing.
Another one that comes to mind is if you're a team leader, keep the meeting on topic. Don't just go, if you're trying to get to a deliverable. Now, the difference is the one you described where you have the get together and it's sort of a organic discussion about different things.
But we picked like two or three. We did a quick multi-vote saying, yeah, that let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. And then it was, what do we do about it? Which is we had a generic agenda. The topics changed week to week. and some carried over. We didn't get to it last week. We talked about it this week. But there was an agenda. It wasn't formal. It wasn't written down. It just became the norm. But we did. But yeah, there was a bit of socializing though, right? We got together and how's going? How's your kids? You know, stuff like that. But it very quickly got down to brass tacks because we all had rest of the day to go work. And so but there was an agenda.
So we want to only invite the people that are needed. I think that's so important because if we want to get rid of this thing where people, you just have like 20, 30 people show up to a meeting and they sit around the wall and they're essentially not participating, that's a huge waste of time. Yeah. So invite people who need it and then involve them. If you're a team leader, ask them questions, get their participation because they're there for a reason, but keep the meeting not as a dictator, but just keep the meeting moving along towards its deliverable.
Well, it's one of those things that we need to know as a reliability engineer, because oftentimes we're the part of the team that crosses boundaries. We work with EEs and electrical and mechanical and software and so on, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, one comes to mind is there was a problem that was neither electrical or mechanical and this one part of this product. And neither manager of those two separate teams was willing to pick it up and solve it because it's not my area. It was their excuse. And so I said, all right, we need to solve this. Otherwise, we're dead in the water. We have to solve it. So I knew the electrical engineer because I've been working with him. And I said, you know, here's what I want to do. And we need to get a hold of somebody that can do the mechanical part of it. Do you have somebody you know on the mechanical side that would be the right person? And he gave me a name. So I went over and talked to her and we told her what the issue was and stuff. And I said, there's a number of options. Are you willing to sit down with Ed for half an hour and let's figure out what the options are and go from there? So I had two right people, had a purpose to figure out how to solve this problem. We got together 15 minutes later. She said, I can do this and this and this. Ed said, let me check the routing to make sure where you're going to, you know, attach this thing isn't going to interfere with it. And the rest of it was email and the problem was solved.
Beautiful.
The problem was that then I got known as a coordinator or a facilitator.
Oh, you got a reputation.
Yeah. It's not a bad reputation, but
no, then it's good, but you're going to get busy.
Yeah. The project manager, you know, he looked at me and I was the only engineer on the staff that is his project manager staff. Everybody else was managers that had 10 to 30 people under him. And it was just me as an engineer, junior engineer at that. And he would look at me and says, could you get together with Sarah and George over here and help them solve that problem? And they're grown-ups.
And what you're describing is really kind of the round-off here, which is how does the meeting end? You want to make sure there's follow-up. You want to end up with, okay, who's going to do what?
Right.
And so you actually get a result. People are there for a reason. What's the follow-up to take this to the next step?
Right.
I'm not so much worried about the meeting minutes or, you know, that kind of thing as I am. Let's make the meeting valuable so something actually gets done.
Yeah, and it's an important part. And it's part of that meeting culture is if like, all right, Carl, you have action item A, B, and C. And when, you know, we need to hear what the progress is by Tuesday or whatever it is. And if you don't follow up on that part, the meeting doesn't end at the end of the allotted time or when you agree to just, you know, conclude the meeting. It ends when stuff's done.
Yeah,
and so it's exactly. Part of that running a meeting is then, all right, hey, Carl, it's Tuesday. Where are you on this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You committed to doing that. Where are you? You know, and things change, things go up. But part of that meeting piece of it is that sign up for stuff you know you're going to do and then do it. And if there's other circumstance come up, alert everybody that needs to know. But I hate it when somebody's, oh, yeah, I'll work on that. And my standard answer is, well, I'll get to that on Tuesday. And then they very quickly learn that it says, well, which Tuesday?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and just to round this off with listeners, I bet, if you're a listener, you've been to some really good meetings and some really poor meetings. What would you like? Can you let us know what you'd like to know more about, or what, how we could help out? What topics? Because this is a huge subject of in business. Is, and what's your experience with it? What do you want to tell us that would help us move to a podcast topic that we can focus on? And just really love to hear from people on your experiences with meetings.
Yeah, and we didn't really get into how the participant can help move a meeting into the good meeting.
I think that'll
category.
Be another podcast topic.
It'll be a whole another one, yeah. Mm-hmm. It is a big topic. And let us know. Head over to ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR. A couple of ways to get in touch with us. Carl and I and the other hosts of the show are available through LinkedIn and our About page. And, you know, it's never too early to move to adjourn when it comes to a podcast that's run for 20 minutes.
Well, a good way to end off.
There you go. All right. Thanks, Carl. We got to come back to talk about meetings again.
We do. All right. Thanks, Fred.
Talk to you later. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.